When you think of the environmental movement, what comes to mind? Maybe it's setting aside public lands for a national park or ensuring the safety of a city's drinking water supply. For the reporting project Great Lakes Today, Elizabeth Miller investigates how the movement came to include the issue of environmental justice and how some experts say it could do better.
But win or lose, we shall not falter. Whatever fate may at the moment overtake any of us, the movement itself will not stop.
Let's start at the beginning of the environmental movement, more than 100 years ago. That was the voice of Theodore Roosevelt, known as the Conservation President. There's a famous 1903 photo of him with the Sierra Club's founder.
That photo represented the environmental movement of Teddy Roosevelt and John Muir, and this was the two of them in Yosemite National Park.
That's Aaron Mayer, past president of the Sierra Club, and its first black president. He sees Roosevelt and Muir as environmental pioneers. They protected the wilderness as powerful industries were devouring America's natural resources. But the photo of two white men also symbolized an unspoken truth about the environmental movement. Mayer says early environmentalists focused on preserving land, land for people who could afford to travel to distant places like Yosemite.
When the U.S. environmental movement went out to protect any place in space, it's often from the perspective of middle-class, predominantly white consumers.
For PhD student Janae Davis, that trend lasted for decades.
People of color in particular were not able to join this particular environmental movement. They were alienated from the environmental movement.
Davis's research at Clark University focuses on environmental protection as it relates to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Those issues slowly evolved since Roosevelt and Muir stood in Yosemite, and they gradually reshaped the movement. By the 1980s, a new term emerged, environmental justice. It was a term focused on fair treatment of all people in terms of environmental laws and policies. The term grew out of protests in Warren County, North Carolina. The county's primarily African-American community was protesting the dumping of contaminated soil in their town. The protests failed to stop the dumping, and more than 500 people were arrested, but the environmental justice movement began nationally. A few years after that, in 1987, the United Church of Christ released a report showing that hazardous waste sites are more likely to be located in minority neighborhoods. Around the same time, Mayer became an activist. His family moved to a new neighborhood in Albany, New York, and started experiencing problems.
That was my on-ramp. My daughters were injured with environmental asthma as a result of exposure. And then from that, I did some analysis and connected the dots.
The dots led to an incinerator spewing pollution into his neighborhood, which was later shut down thanks to Mayer and a mobilized community effort. From that local battle, Mayer moved through the ranks at the Sierra Club, eventually becoming president, a tenure that ended earlier this year. Mayer says the mainstream movement has been slow to embrace issues of environmental justice, like affordable safe drinking water and air pollution. Dr. Paul Mohai agrees. A professor at the University of Michigan, Mohai has studied environmental justice, public opinion of the environment, and policy. He says not all mainstream organizations are willing to focus on these sorts of issues.
When something like the environmental justice movement comes along, it may actually be hard for those that have been involved in organizations like that to not only notice it, but also be persuaded that it's really relevant to what they're already doing.
But sometimes a tragedy can jar people into thinking differently. That happened in 2014 in Flint, Michigan. For Great Lakes Today, I'm Elizabeth Miller.